slowed down and businesses have pulled back on long-term investments that could drive future growth. But although inflation has eased from a 40-year high reached earlier this year, price gains remain at elevated levels. The latest consumer price index, the CPI, indicates prices rose 0.4% in the month of September, marking the second straight month of accelerating inflation. Annual inflation dropped slightly to 8.2%. Meanwhile, gross domestic product or GDP declined in the first two quarters of this year, sparking debate over whether the data signified the economy was technically in a recession. President Joe Biden suggested last month the possibility of a slight recession, while indicating he didn't believe there would be one at all, and the White House has regularly touted strong employment numbers and manufacturing growth to reject talk of such a downturn. The British newspaper The Guardian has more for us. Millions of Americans are currently working two or more jobs in order to make ends meet, as global inflation and corporations jacking up prices have sent prices of food, gas, housing, health insurance, and other necessities soaring in the past year. According to data from the US Census, more Americans have been working two or more jobs over the past few decades, with women more likely than men to have multiple jobs and multiple job holders, most prevalent among low-wage workers. Laura Richwine of Omaha, Nebraska, works two jobs, one in fraud prevention and the other doing administrative work, and had previously been working three jobs to keep up with hefty medical bills she'd been facing since being hit by a car in 2014. Based on data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more than 400,000 Americans worked two full-time jobs. In September of 2022, 4.9% of more than 164 million U.S. workers held two or more jobs over 7.7 million workers. Though U.S. Census data estimates these rates and numbers to be much higher at 7.8% in the most recent year where data is available, 2018, about 13 million workers, while BLS data at the time estimated 5% of the workforce holding multiple jobs. Both data sets are considered an underestimate of the number of multiple job holders in the United States labor market due to considerations on what is defined as a multiple job holder and a lack of data on self-employment, such as gig workers. An annual survey sponsored by the Federal Reserve Board estimated an even higher number of workers in multiple jobs at 16.4% in 2019, about 26.5 million workers in the United States.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to another episode of Muslim Lady. In here, we're talking about the topics that are most interested to Muslim ladies. Well, I am Asma, your humble host. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab to help us with some information about the book that we recently have started to talk about. In this book, we are gathering some information about the personal and also social aspects of life of Sayyida Zahra, salamullah alayha. Since we as Muslim follow Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam because they are the practical example of the perfect Muslim according to the Holy Book of Quran, So we go for a Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, in order to get more of how to be as a real Muslim lady.
Yeah.
As we went through clothing, we went through table manners, we went through personal care, and so much more. For today, we are going to follow the topic which covers the beauty and adornment, which is, I guess, every woman's favorite subject.
Exactly. Beauty, especially when it comes to women, it's something that's very, very,
yes,
like, she cannot...
Tantalizing.
Exactly. So, yeah, when it comes to beauty, in our previous episodes, when it was related to the personal care, we said one of the things that they would take care of in personal care was trimming hairs.
Yeah.
Removing extra hairs from the bodies. Now, this has got something very, very connection that I said in the previous episode may come as a shock. We have in one of the narrations that the purity of a woman is related to the cleanliness of men. What does that mean, actually? If a man does not take care of his cleanliness.
Yes.
In terms of personal care, in terms of his body, not removing the extra hairs, just in the similar way of females, it says the purity of a woman is directly, I would say, if it was a physics subject, I would say it's directly proportional to the purity of a woman. Cleanliness of a man is directly proportional to the purity of a woman.
Yeah, that's very true.
What does that mean? It means that if there's a man who's not taking care of his personal care.
Yeah.
Who's not taking care about his, I don't know, his body looking clean and tidy.
Yeah,
keeping himself perfumed. When you're not taking care of those personal care things that we mentioned before, like, you know, trimming your nails, taking care of dental hygiene, because dental hygiene is very, very important.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. When you as partners are not taking care of these things, you do not expect loyalty from the other partner. So that's one part of the story. Another thing that is very important in beauty is the first is taking care of those personal care things, which we said, like, you know,
going for body routines. I don't know, take care of your own body.
That is not... I would want to explain one thing over here. That does not mean to spend a lot on your body.
No. It does not have anything to do with spending too much money. I usually say that cleanliness is something that comes intuitive.
That's half of your faith.
So every single person in this world would love to smell nice. Every single person in this world, if they are in their right mind, they would love to appear in a clean dress, with a sort of appearance that is very much tidy, very much gentle. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's something that depends to every single person. So
yes,
when we say take care of your body, we do not say that go for special...
expensive body routines.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about that. It's just taking care of your body.
Yeah. So we talked about perfumes. We talked about smelling good. But I think we gotta go for a break.
Yeah,
before
yeah,
explain
exactly.
That.
So let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. This is your favorite zone. We're talking about beauty and adornment. Well, we reached the point, which is very much interesting and lovely, and it is about perfumes, using perfumes and smelling very much nice. And Sister Zainab was telling us some more.
So we were talking about beauty, basically, and now we reached a point that in beauty, all those things come that we discussed already in personal care. That was the first thing that we discussed over here. The second thing is that she would use perfumes. Now, how do we know that? There's a very beautiful story behind this. Once a blind person comes to the home of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and he enters, and Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there, she very certainly covers herself and goes away from that place. Once the meeting between that a blind person and the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his family finished, Prophet is curious. He asks his daughter a question. He was blind.
Actually, he knows that, but he asks that in order to come to us.
Definitely.
In order to be narrated to us.
Exactly. Exactly. So he asks question to Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what was it that made you cover yourself and go away?
Why did you leave?
Yeah. He was a blind person. And she says, he was blind, but I was not blind. See?
Yeah.
The beautiful answer, the modesty in her words.
And how much she cares.
And yeah, and she said that if he cannot, in addition to her answer, she says, if he cannot see me, at least he could smell me. Which shows that she was a perfume user.
Mm-hmm.
She would use perfumes in front of her mahrams. In front of her
which
family
members. Actually an important point to
which
say
is very,
that
very
even
important.
If you are using perfume, use it at your home. Do not get out with so much
stress,
of perfume on.
I again stress on the point that when you talk about perfumes, when you talk about basically, you know, taking care of somebody is smelling it or not, do not, because there are so many perfumes out there in the market which would tell you this would last for 1 week.
Yeah.
This is very, very strong. And this is the one which will just simply keep you away from sweating.
Uh-huh.
Buy those which will keep you away from sweating outside. And when you first of all take care of those body routines, definitely you won't sweat much.
Yes, and you would use some deodorants instead
you
of
can
perfume.
Use, exactly. So you have to, when we say that, do not use perfumes, strong perfumes basically. I would focus on this word, just strong perfumes in front of non-mahrams. Is that, it means that, just take care of your, you know, just take care of the fact that somebody does not get attracted to you.
Exactly.
This is because of this. This
because,
is not because
you know,
of something
we
else.
We have seen it. Many times it happens that you enter a crowd of, I don't know, maybe you go into the taxi or into the bus or somewhere that is a public place. Then somebody comes in, a woman, and then she smells so beautiful. She has got a perfume on herself that makes everyone turn back and look at her.
Again, it shows us
she
that...
She becomes the center of attention.
Exactly. As we said in the previous episodes, that do not wear the clothes that make you center of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does not end at the clothes only.
And let's mention the reason why. Because in the Holy Book of Quran also we have it that Allah says that you do this and some people who are sick in their hearts would make some terribles for you. So you cannot guarantee everyone's
you
attitude
you. Actually are inviting
you.
Trouble for yourself.
Exactly.
Because not everyone out there
is
has the
so
same
much
faith
educated
like you have.
And civilized and so much looking at you with an eye that is so much like your brother or father, so supportive and so protective. No.
Exactly like you quoted Holy Quran, I would also like to quote the same book which says that it orders the Muslim ladies to cover their chests and wear modest clothes, and also tells Muslim men to lower their gaze.
Yeah.
Which means that men have to lower their gaze. But this does not mean that women can wear everything she wants to wear.
And ask
she
the
can,
man to
she
lower
can put
their
on
gaze.
Any perfume that she wants to. No. She has to help her Muslim brother to keep his modesty.
Exactly.
It's all in the hands of a Muslim woman how she helps her brother.
Yeah.
She does not have to come out in the way that she does not help her Muslim brother. Because there are some women who say that, it's my life, it's my body, it's my choice. The men should actually educate themselves or get civilized or, you know, they should be...
Lower their mothers' gaze.
Their mothers should be teaching them that they have to lower their gaze and they don't have to, you know, actually do immodest kind of things in the society.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. That is true. But you as a Muslim woman have to help your brother.
Exactly.
You have to help your brothers out there in the society to keep their modesty.
Well, you know what? In social responsibilities, we both are equal. We have to go for responsibilities altogether. It doesn't mean that I have to wear whatever that comes to my mind and use perfumes and be the perfect example of a distractor and then expect other people, other men, not to look at me, not to harm me.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady Whalen here. We're talking about personal care, something which is very much routine, very much normal and natural, but maybe some people do not go for the delicate points that is related to it.
So perfumes was one of the part of her beauty routine. She would go for perfumes, definitely.
Yeah.
And she would take care. She had the choice to say, I did not go out in the streets with perfume. I was in my home. This man came to my home. No. See, even if a man is blind, she's going and hiding herself, covering herself first, and then hiding herself. And when Prophet asks the reason, and she says that he was blind, but I was not blind, and maybe he could smell me. So it shows that she was the one who
was
used
so
perfumes.
Sensitive to these sort of things.
Exactly. And then Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, tells her, oh, Fatima, you are a part of me.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you rightly mentioned, definitely Prophet knew this. But he wanted to do.
He wanted us
make
to learn
this transfer
that.
To us, get this transferred to us. So that's why we have a lot to learn from these things, because we as women love to be center of attractions. We love
it. Is in our nature. It is in our nature,
actually. Unfortunately, since I come from India, we have so many Indian movies wherein there are dialogues, famous dialogues in the movies, wherein women would say, everybody in the college looked at me, but who was the guy? He did not look at me.
Yeah.
See, this is completely against the teachings what we have. Completely. There's one thing, like once a group is staying with Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, in the mosque, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is also present over there. Prophet asks a question to them, what is the best thing for a woman?
Mm-hmm.
They all discuss and do not reach a conclusion, what is the best one? Then Imam Ali alayhi salam sends someone to Lady Zahra, salamu alayha, ask her this question, and the beautiful answer she sends to the Imam Ali alayhi salam is that, the best thing for a woman is that no non-mahram looks at her and she does not also look at any non-mahram.
Exactly.
When Prophet Muhammad hears this answer and he inquires, who is the one who gave this answer to Imam Ali? Imam Ali, he asks Imam Ali, is that answer from you? He says, no. I sent someone to ask this question to Lady Zahra. This is the answer from Lady Zahra, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again,
which
Prophet out there says
answer.
That definitely she is the one from me.
Exactly.
So, I would like to expand this one in inshallah another session. This does not mean like you completely have to put your gaze down. You don't have to look at non-mahrams or you will work in a society wherein you are in touch with non-mahrams or non-mahrams cannot look at you. What does that mean? I'll explain in next session, inshallah.
Inshallah. So the gist of this session is that you can use all the dormant you like. You could go for personal care. There are too much of things you could do as a woman since it exists in your nature. But the important thing is that have a good intention and then keep it for yourself. Keep it for your home. Do not take it outside. As men and women, we both have responsibilities. And the responsibility of a woman is very much going to have some sort of important effects on the society. So, dear listeners, thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and how about pondering on a wonderful maxim from the Prophet's infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, the 11th Imam, peace upon him. The worst of people is he who has two faces and two tongues, praises his brother in front of him, and eats his flesh in his absence.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. with the light.
Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of a tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years BC.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored. I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lap component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests at the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says it's strange to meet so many people with the same name, obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's no land at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on 2 major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
There's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and, you know, the subjects. And and of course we have those areas in the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a 3-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found a rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for today, we're going to speak about paradise in the view of Islam. So I invite you to be with us. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Wednesday, is the 14th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to chapter Al-Waqi'ah, verses 15 to 18, and then some points about it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. على سرر موضونة.
On thrones woven with ornament.
متكئين عليها متقابلين.
Reclining on them, facing each other.
يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون.
There will circulate among them young boys made eternal.
بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين.
With vessels, pitchers, and a cup of wine from a flowing spring.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The blessed verses treat of the material and immaterial blessings granted to those nearest to divine throne on the day of resurrection. Such blessings are innumerable. They are depicted in the blessed verses in question such that man with his limited intellectual capacities be able to comprehend them. The blessed verses are saying that thrones shall be prepared for those nearest to divine throne. Thrones adorned with different jewels like rubies, diamonds, and emeralds. The people of paradise shall recline upon those couches and thrones while they shall be face to face enjoying each other's society without being bored of loneliness. It might be a reference to numerous thrones laid together, thus according further glory to their majesty mansions.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and the world that often lies. as I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Now paradise in the view of this religion, Islam. It is beyond the capacity of the people of this world to have a comprehension of the bliss of paradise. Only a brief belief in its existence is sufficient, and one should not go into details as to where it is or how it is. It can be compared to a child in a mother's womb who is not aware of the outside world. Paradise is a place free of emptiness and sorrow. Handicapped, ailment, and aging do not exist there. It is no place for boredom and uneasiness. There is absolute peace and contentment. Hence, it is also referred to as Darus Salam, the abode of peace.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about heaven and the abiders of heaven, al-Jannah. So this heaven that we are talking about is a corporeal entity, or spiritual one, is something which, as I said earlier, is under disputes and is quite controversial topic. Some hadiths and narrations have pointed out that the heaven is created before the occurrence of the resurrection. It has been known as a Shia belief. There is a hadith, a narration from Imam Radha alayhi salam, according to which the heaven is created in the sense that it has an external existence, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the real heaven in his mi'raj. Thus, if someone rejects that the heaven is created, they will thereby deny the prophets. Some hadith have emphasized that for every person there is a specific predetermined place in the heaven as well as in the hell. A person's action gradually build up that place in the heaven or in the hell during time. Such hadith and narrations have been appealed to for the existence of the heaven and the hell right now. So these hadiths show that the heaven and hell are now available, and they do exist now. Al-Quran and narrations from the infallibles emphasize that the heaven and in general the afterlife are corporeal or physical. Thus, there is no difference between this mundane world and the afterlife with respect to the being physical. They are different in other aspects.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Among the pleasures of paradise, there is nothing like it. The delights of paradise surpass the imagination and defy description. They are like nothing known to the people of this world. No matter how advanced we may become, what we achieve is as nothing in comparison with the joys of the hereafter. As it mentioned in several reports, there is nothing like paradise. It is sparkling light, a
aromatic plants, a lofty palace, a flowing river, and abundant clothing in an eternal abode of radiant joy, in beautiful, soundly constructed high houses. Allah said in chapter 76, verse 20, "And when you look there in paradise, you will see a delight that cannot be imagined and a great dominion." What Allah has kept hidden from us, the delights of paradise, is beyond our ability to comprehend. Now, how to achieve this place? Pray, feed the poor, mind your speech, and remember the day of judgment. This is another lesson. When you read the dialects of people of Jannah and people of hell, you can learn from their mistakes now by listening to their words. When the people of Jannah ask the people of hell, "Why did you enter the fire?" the first thing they will say is, "We didn't pray." Do you see the importance of prayer? Apart from your connection to Allah in prayer, mind your connection with the Ummah and make it your duty to look after the poor and needy. Actively look out for those who need help or guidance and give your wealth and time to helping out those in need local and further away. Finally, always remind yourself of the Day of Judgment to keep all your actions in check. And most importantly, repent when you go wrong. Inshallah.
The hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, إذا أراد المؤمن في الجنة, he's speaking about al-Jannah, listen carefully. He says, إذا أراد المؤمن شيئا, if you want something, إنما أمره أن يقول سبحانك اللهم. If you crave something in the Jannah, all you have to do is say سبحان الله. Glory be to Allah. فتبادرت إليه الخدم بما يشتهيه من دون أن يطلب ذلك. You don't even have to ask for what you want. All you do is think about it. I'm thinking about, for example, a Lamborghini that flies. Can I have it? Yes, think about it and say subhanallah. Allah will summon, He will order those servants, they will run. They won't hesitate. As soon as you want it, you will have it. You will see it in front of you. Just say subhanallah. This is the first law of Jannah, that the beauties of Jannah are whatever you desire, whatever you wish. Just say subhanallah and you will see it in front of you. This is the first law of the beauties and the ni'am of Jannah. The second law that the Quran tells us about the ni'am of Jannah, Allah says about al-Jannah, لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, that in al-Jannah we will find peace. It is called the place of peace. There is a city in the world called Darus Salam. It is not Darus Salam. The true Darus Salam you will find in al-Jannah. The Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal describes it as being Darus Salam, the place of complete, absolute peace.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.